freedom. We really do. We need strategies. We need strategies for living. Are you ready? You're ready for your daily dose of radio rehab.
I think I'm ready. I hope everyone else is ready.
Well, they better buckle their seatbelt today because you and I know who our life strategist is. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC Lauren Leon McMillan. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
We were recently talking about the fella that infiltrated. He's a black detective. He lived at the time in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Right.
He took a job in a predominantly white community, 1975. He infiltrated the Colorado Ku Klux Klan.
That's right.
We were talking about him. And actually, they made a Spike Lee, 2018 Spike Lee film was made about this guy.
Based on his book.
Yeah, Black Klansman.
Right.
And it was based on his memoir that he published back in 2014. Well, you know what?
He had to stir up more trouble, didn't he?
I think a direct quote, we'll let him talk about this, but a direct quote is, I've got more people to piss off. His name is Ron Stallworth, and his brand new book, and it's a good one, it's called The Gangs of Zion. Now, just imagine this. I mean, imagine, you know, he's not finished with his work yet, right?
No, of course not.
So he goes out to Mormon country, okay?
Right.
And he finds that the Crips and the Bloods are out there in this, you know, here's a state dominated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
But after his first drug bust, he discovers, well, the Bloods and the Crips are infiltrating Mormon country. I mean, can you imagine that?
Who would have known?
And what?
And who better to stumble into it, right? Who,
exactly. You know, we say oftentimes there are no coincidences,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
There are no accidents. So Ron Stallworth, you know, certainly not only stumbled into it, got into it, waded into it, and did something about it. And he writes about it. His brand new book is called The Gangs of Zion. And we're going to talk to him today. We've got Ron Stallworth.
I'm excited.
As our life strategist, we're talking to him today here on Strategies for Living. Folks, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being with us. And we appreciate our sponsors making it possible, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Learning RX and Pintail Roofing and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. Back in a moment to meet best-selling author. He inspired the film Black Klansman, and he's got a new book called The Gangs of Zion. Ron Stallworth with us today here on Strategies for Living. Buckle your seatbelt and come back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Dawn Issa Walker with Learning RX Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, Maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending. LearningRx Report offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Report. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Report.
And welcome in. Welcome into Strategies for Living. You know, the more we talk about making healthy choices, well, you know what? The more we can do it. And that's why we talk about it daily here on Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now our life strategist. Ron Stallworth is a law enforcement veteran and the first black detective in the Colorado Springs Police Department. He's worked undercover narcotics, vice, criminal intelligence, and organized crime beats in four states. He's the author of the number one New York Times best-selling memoir, Black Klansman, which was released as the Oscar-winning film directed by Spike Lee, Black Klansman. Mr. Stallworth, welcome to Strategies for Living.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
All right. So, my goodness, after all you got into, trailblazing in the 90s, how'd you end up in, forgive me, Lily White, Utah?
Well, before that, I was in Lily White, Wyoming.
Or what's the deal here?
No, I was in pursuit of a dream, a goal of mine, which was to be a undercover investigator. And the Colorado Springs Police Department would not allow that. I had a lieutenant and a sergeant determined to prevent that from happening, so I had no choice. And one of those stops was, I left Colorado Springs in 1980, and I landed in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was there for 2 years, and that didn't work out. The Wyoming Attorney General's Division of Criminal Investigation came calling, and I went there and spent 4 years there before the opportunity to go to Salt Lake City came up. And that's where I ended my police career.
So what was, you know, you discovered, I guess you would say it's unlikely. You probably didn't think going into Salt Lake, into Mormon country, you probably, I'm guessing, didn't think of, well, I'm going to encounter the Crips and the Bloods. Did you?
Never crossed my mind. I was hired to be a narcotics investigator, and the gangs, the South Central LA gangs, Crips and Bloods, did not arrive until roughly 1988-89.
Okay. Now, you get in there, and, of course, Salt Lake City, that region, I know a little bit about it because for a little while in the 80s, I had owned a piece of a radio station in Boise, Idaho. And so that also is heavily Mormon country. So I know a little bit about the area. But, you know, it's an incredibly conservative community. When you got there, what was the crime like? Kids bombing homes and they were carrying pocket versions of the Book of Mormon at the same time?
Yes, we were dealing with gang members of all stripes, Polynesian. The Polynesians were almost always Mormon. The white kids who were Mormon, and the black kids, both local and out-of-state black kids, who had the other religious denominations, and we had Catholic, Hispanic Catholic kids.
What a mix.
We had a mix of rainbow stripe, but What alerted me to things that was the fact that the Mormon kids, primarily the white ones, were proud of their gang affiliation and proud to say that they were affiliated with the Mormon Church. My partner was a devout Mormon, and he cracked up laughing when he first heard it, and I followed suit.
Sure.
We couldn't comprehend of anybody from that religious persuasion being Crips.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing was, if I had closed my eyes, turned my head, and not seen these kids, but just heard them talk, I would have sworn I was standing on a street corner in South Central LA.
Wow.
All right, now everything kind of kicked off. You bought $100 worth of crack, and that was one of the first crack buys in the state, huh?
Yeah, it was about a gram worth of crack.
And so you're working narcotics, and you immediately recognize the source as as a Crip, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't hard to distinguish them. If you had any understanding of their background, they would be dressed from head to toe in blue. At that time, Adidas was a popular athletic gear. So they would be dressed head to toe in blue.
Right.
They would, the pants would be hanging off their butt. It looked like they had dropped a couple of loads in their seat. And they would announce the fact that they were from South Central LA. So I clearly see that this was happening.
All right. So you, where are you learning? where are you learning about the Crips? And what'd you get told?
I asked the white kids who were telling me they were Crips and Bloods. I asked them, where are you kids learning this?
Yeah.
And their response was from the rap music we listened to. I said, what kind of rap? They said gangster rap. That was the first time I heard the term gangster rap. And I contacted a good friend of mine at the time who was the chief of police of Compton City Police Department. And I asked him, I told him what I was experiencing, and he busted out laughing. He said, there are no white Crips. I said, well, I'm dealing with them down here. So we started comparing notes, and he said, have you ever heard of this album called Straight Outta Compton by N.W.A. Right. I had never heard of either one.
Right.
He suggested I go buy the album and listen to it. He said, the questions you're asking, this music will explain it all.
Wow.
And he was right on target.
So you have said before, if you want to understand people, you've got to speak their language. At least you've got to understand what they're saying, right? And so you listened very closely, Ron, to these songs, to these lyrics, and it really kind of laid out for you information on the intricacies of gang culture, right? The history, the enemies, their views towards the cops, women, and a whole lot more. Huh?
The intricacies of Crip and Blood gang culture came alive to me once I listened to this album. The language was the language that these kids used, the language of the streets, their slang terms for things was all incorporated in the lyrics. And it was just a matter of getting past songs like F the Police,
right?
Getting past what they were saying that was offensive to me, and focusing strictly on pure lyrics, nothing else. And I forced myself to do that and got into it and studied it from that point on.
Now, I'm sure you probably along the way began to share with your colleagues, your community members. What did you find as you shared what you were finding with your colleagues on the force and members of the community?
I did a presentation once I had listened to enough of this stuff, I did a presentation for my superiors within the Department of Public Safety and a handful of others from the Salt Lake Valley law enforcement community. And I played the music on a cassette tape, and I would stop it, and I would explain to them what was just said, what the meaning of it was. And when I finished my presentation, this Mormon captain that I have worked under, he was an idiot.
How do you really feel about him?
The first words out of his mouth was, "Why did you have to say those words? Why did you have to talk like that?" And I said, "Because this is what's happening. This is reality. This is what's happening." Right. He said, "Yeah, but did you have to say that?" And I responded, "F yes, I did." So I didn't win any friends or influence anybody, but I made another enemy.
Oh, gosh.
And he is mentioned in Gangs of Zion, by the way.
Yeah. So what did that immediately, I guess you knew, oh, man, I'm in for a ride here, huh?
Well, I knew that it was a controversial subject. I knew the nature of the beast, if you will, that I was dealing with. But I made it a point that if I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to talk about it straight up. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't believe in it for the simple reason that the kids, your children, were listening to this music in its purest form. And they were, as these white gang members were telling me, they were learning how to be Crips and Bloods just from listening to the music.
Yeah.
So you had to accept the fact that this was happening, that this was reality, and there was no sugarcoating it, and get past your snootiness, if you will,
yeah.
Get past your religious screed, and understand what was happening on the streets of Salt Lake City.
Hmm. Yeah, because you're not going to be able to deal with it unless you can understand it.
Right.
If I know more about you than you know about me, then I've got a little bit more power in the relationship, but vice versa. And so, you know, you're encountering your colleagues on the police force, politicians, leaders in the community. It's like, Jesus, like they had their heads in the sand. They didn't, it's like they didn't want to know. We got a lot to talk about today with Ron Stallworth. His book is The Gangs of Zion, A Black Cop's Crusade in Mormon Country. We're learning all about it today here on Strategies for Living from Ron Stallworth. Got more to come, more to learn. Stay with us. Dealing with stress, pain, feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us. And welcome back into Strategies for Living. Got your seat belts fastened. Yours is good and tight over there.
That's right. I'm devil buckled over here.
Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Why are we buckled in? Well, we're buckled in because we're talking to Ron Stallworth today, best-selling author who inspired the film Black Klansman. If you have not seen that, We found it on
Amazon.
On Amazon,
I believe.
Yeah. What was that like working on that, Ron? Did you work closely with Spike Lee? What was that like for you?
Didn't work closely with Spike. We communicated. My wife and I were kindly sent tickets to meet Spike. Mm-hmm. And the producers of the movie, Jordan Peele, we were sent out to help promote the film. We spent a lot of time in Los Angeles and New York, and Universal Studios put it to tab, and we had a good time getting to know everybody.
Mr. Peele is in the creation of the movie itself. Yeah, Mr. Peele is also very well known. Yeah. Lots of folks watch the Key and Peele YouTube videos, and of course they, you know, they're all over the place. Yeah. You know, well they were while they were together. I think they still are now independently, but anyway.
What was that like for you to see your book turned into?
To answer your last part first,
yeah,
it was based on my book, uh-huh. But as with anything based on, they took some liberties with it.
Bollywood.
For the most part, they kept pretty close to what actually happened. I was pleased with the overall result of the movie. First time I watched it, Universal flew us in 1 week before we premiered in New York. And they flew my wife and I to Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. We sat in one of the unlocked screening theaters.
Right.
It had about 200, and there was only six of us in the theater.
Wow.
And they had not dubbed it with music yet. So we watched the whole thing without music. I got an appreciation for the role music plays in the movie.
When you watch one without the music you watch it with, you really appreciate it.
We sat there and watched it, and I must admit that the first time I saw it, it brought tears to my eyes because I couldn't believe that I was hearing my name spoken on the big three, and that public consumption.
Now, I want to warn people that, and I want you to go get Gangs of Zion, but I'm going to warn people that if you do like I do and read at night, Ron, you owe me some sleep here. Because
I apologize.
No, I don't do that.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But I mean, it reads. It's hard to put this book down when you begin to, when you really get into it. You don't hold any punches, and it is definitely a page turner. And so, you know, I don't want to go too far into it because I want people to go get it. Mm-hmm. But I do want to talk about a bit of what's going on in real life because, you know, we're strategies for living, and we're all living this. I mean, we're all in the culture. We're in this time where, you know, a lot of police reform. What are some – you're front line. You're retired now, but you've spent many, many, many years front line. What police reform policies should be pursued and which ones should not be pursued? Let's start there.
A policy that they should pursue is stop hiring people who have criminal backgrounds, troubled backgrounds, rules. Stop hiring these people. Mm. And if you are going to hire them, make sure you do a complete checkup on them to get all of this information out before they you put them on payroll. There are too many guys who have altered with one department They get hot, they get fired or told to leave. They leave, and then they apply for a job with another department, and you never knew about the problem that they had before.
Right.
That needs to end immediately. The other thing that I would advocate for is curtailing the power and influence of police unions. The unions have too much power, and I support unions. But where law enforcement is concerned, the unions have too much power, and they need to be curtailed a little bit.
So there needs to be some balance entered.
There needs to be some balance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What about the privatization of prisons? Mm-hmm. What's your thinking about that?
Totally against it. It's a money-making, profitable business. Utah was one of the first states to jump onto that when it became the big to-do back in the late 80s, early 90s. I talk about, in my book, I talk about the Job Corps program. Well, the Job Corps program was bringing Crips and Bloods from South Central LA into Utah, and they were also funding private prisons. Not Job Corps, but the people behind the corporation that was behind the Job Corps.
Right.
They were funding private prisons, and they were one of the biggest problems, which I talk about in my book.
Right.
So I think you need to go back to public prisons, get rid of this private entity, because all they're doing is making money off of the backs of the people that they incarcerate.
What about when we're dealing with youth, and you dealt with front and center again, and you know the story of the gangs of Zion? What about prosecuting young people as adults?
I have no problem with prosecution of juveniles, provided the charges are appropriate. You get a kid who commits, he's 16, 17 years old, and he commits a murder. Mm-hmm. There is no justification for that unless it's a self-defense situation and he can justify it. But committing a murder for the sake of watching someone die and to see what it was like, and then you want to plead that you shouldn't be prosecuted and suffer the ultimate consequences because you're a juvenile. I don't buy that at all. Hmm. I don't buy that at all.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, we've been living this, and there's been a lot of, civil lawsuits against, police brutality cases. Who should pay? Who should pay for those civil settlements in those police brutality cases?
I'll go back to the unions. The unions are the ones that are defending these civil liability cases involving cops. The union has a substantial amount of money at their disposal, and rather than the public entity pay for it, coming out of public coffers, the union should pay.
Yeah.
If you're going to defend the actions of a crooked, corrupt, dirty cop, then you should pay for the actions that crooked, corrupt, dirty cop has done. It should not be the taxpayer.
So what I'm hearing you say is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think I'm hearing you say that the unions, to a degree, have blinders on, and they need to take those blinders off and get real.
I don't know if they have blinders on or not, but I do know that they know what's going on. They know who's committing wrong, and the unions always take the stand that they're going to defend their brother officers. Hmm. I am for defending my brothers in blue. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And I will defend them to the death until I see proof or hear a proof that shows that they violated their constitutional oath and that they're dirty cops. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, they're no longer my brother officers.
What are your thoughts about Black Lives Matter?
Black Lives Matter, contrary to what Donald Trump says, is not a terrorist organization. They are very much an organization that is devoted to improving their community. And if anyone studied them long enough, you'd understand that. They are, that is the title that they've assigned to the group. But they go around trying to work with law enforcement to make the community safer, to improve in particular. And every time I hear that orange-headed idiot talk about terrorist group and everything, it pisses me off.
Yeah, I can
understand. They're not a terrorist group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, in your opinion, what's the greatest threat to society, Ron?
What's the greatest threat to American society?
Yes.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that he's a threat to democracy and American democracy is on the line. I honestly believe that is true.
Well, you know, in a few weeks, we're gonna see.
It
won't be long. We're gonna see what happens here.
Well, I know Kamala Harris has at least one vote. I won't tell you who.
I think I'm...
No idea.
I think I might be able to guess.
You think
just,
so?
Just maybe. Just maybe. We're talking with Ron Stallworth today. The book is The Gangs of Zion. It's a black cop's crusade in Mormon country by the best-selling author who inspired the film Black Klansman. He's our life strategist today. Here on Strategies for Living. More to learn from Ron Stallworth. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com. And welcome back. Welcome back into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. You know, on Strategies, we talk every day. Every day about creating the life that makes you excited to wake up in the morning, start every new day. That's our goal here on Strategies for Living. Thanks for joining us. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Ron Stallworth is our life strategist today. He is the author of The Gangs of Zion. It's at your favorite bookseller right now. It's a black cop's crusade in Mormon country by the best-selling author who inspired the film Black Klansman. And so...
What's it like for you, Ron, to write the books?
What's it like for me to what?
To write the books. Is it cathartic for you?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I find it relaxing. Mm-hmm. Once I have the solitude to put pen to paper.
Right.
And I write longhand and then transcribe into a computer.
Oh, wow.
But I find it very cathartic. It It's relaxing for me. Mm-hmm. Most from roughly midnight to 2 or 3 in the morning. And it took me 9 months to do it before I finally said, okay, this is it. I got it. Got what I want to say. And that was it.
I want to talk a little bit about rap music, because I kind of got the idea that you've gotten, you dove in, and you're even a little defensive, you know. You've been studying and doing this for a long time, and of course rap music has changed since you first started studying it. Is it as relevant today, Ron, as it was when you first encountered it?
I would argue that it's more relevant today, because when I first encountered it, it was confined primarily to the inner city communities, the black communities of this country, and white kids were just starting to discover it. You look at it now, rap music, and I mean rap music as a whole, not gangster rap, but rap music, is a part of our culture, a part of American culture. That proof of that is the fact that you have rappers doing commercials about any and everything. You have fashion styles based on what these rappers are dressing up like, and some of them own their own clothing lines, and they're advertising. You name the product, some rapper has got his hands in a cookie jar. So you can't sleep on this. You need to understand it, because it is a part of American culture. And to go back what you said a minute ago, I am very defensive of it, because not only is it a part of American culture, but it is definitely a product of black culture in America.
Right.
And I will defend that and stand by it. Even though I find some things wrong with it, I will still defend it, because it represents me as a black man.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite rapper as you were? Did you find a favorite rapper as you were studying it?
Well, let me put it this way. I was studying gangster rap.
Right.
Right.
I like Ice Cube. I liked NWA, Public Enemy, Chuck D, Public Enemy. They're not gangster rappers. They're more black consciousness.
Okay. What was the biggest appeal for you, Ron?
Well, the first thing I had to do was get past the fact that there was no singing, that it was just talking.
Yeah.
Right.
When I first heard Rapper's Delight, which the original version is 15 minutes long, when I first heard Rapper's Delight, it pissed me off. Because I was driving to work one night, and this song comes on, and I'm waiting for the singing to start, and all they're doing is talking.
Right.
And it irritated me, because I wanted to hear my music, Stevie Wonder, Motown, The Supremes, etc. So I was irritated by that. But after I listened to it and got into it, I found it had a catchy beat to it. I started snapping my fingers and nodding my head, and it got to me. And that's how this music affected me and still does.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, are you still listening to it today?
I don't listen to gangster rap much today, because what little that I have heard, I think, is a bunch of crap compared to the stuff that I was listening to almost 30 years ago. The kids today are saying nothing but the same thing that they were saying 30 years ago, but 30 years ago they said it better. So I don't listen to too much gangster rap. I will occasionally tune into a rap song every now and again, but not too often.
We don't have to ask you where you stand on Mr. Trump and Miss Harris. That kind of came up last segment. But I do want to ask you this, at the risk of waiting this show someplace we don't usually go, which is in politics, and we usually stay away from that. But since you waded into it, I've got to ask. You know, Donald Trump is popular among a lot of police officers, right? I mean, you know that.
I'm trying to understand why.
Yeah, so that was my question for you. Why you know, do you think that is? And, you know, is there really an ultra-conservative bent in police departments across the nation?
Police departments are very conservative by nature. Mm-hmm. Some have become ultra-conservative in light of the politics that we're experiencing today.
Yeah.
Why they like Donald Trump, I can't understand that. He is the antithesis of everything that we as cops stand for, and yet he has his supporters. I have lost friends, close colleagues that I work with in departments all over this country who have refused to talk to me because I have expressed my opinion, not complimentary, regarding Donald Trump.
Well, you know, but you have a right. Yeah, every single person has a right to express their opinion. I'm not hearing you be mean. I'm just hearing you say what you believe, you know. And
I think he's a very flawed individual. I think he sucks as a human being. He is a compulsive liar. He is a cheat. I worked undercover for over half of my 32-year career, and I know a con man, nothing but a con man. And I will give him this much credit. He pulled the ultimate con of all time when he convinced 63 million people to vote for him back in 2016. I'll applaud him for that.
You'll give him that.
I will give him that.
Okay.
But when working undercover, I know the techniques of what Donald Trump is doing. Undercover cops employ the same things that he does when he opens his mouth and starts talking, when he starts lying. And I just don't understand why my colleagues feel the way they do about him. I think they're flawed to begin with, if that's the case. And America would be much better off without him.
Ron Stallworth, our life strategist. His book is The Gangs of Zion. It's a black cop's crusade in Mormon country. Once you start reading this book, it's going to be hard to put down. It's from the best-selling author who inspired the film Black Klansman, Ron Stallworth. We'll be back here on Strategies for Living. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
And welcome back. Back into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with the author of The Gangs of Zion, A Black Cop's Crusade in Mormon Country. His name is Ron Stallworth. It is a page-turner. If you like intrigue and you like, you want to be made to think, which is what
That's what
we're all about here on Strategies.
Right.
Whether you agree with him or disagree with him.
It's about being able to stretch and understand different perspectives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Ron, what do you really want to leave us with? We've got about a minute. What do you want to leave people with today?
What I want to leave people with in terms of this book is the understanding that don't be afraid to speak truth to power. It may not be a popular stance, but speaking truth to power is ultimately how I was able to accomplish the things that I did, without regard for how it might affect me, without concern or care whether or not it would enhance my career. I did what was right and what I felt was right. And the people that I interacted with, I wasn't impressed by their title, position, or anything else. I did the right thing. So speak.
And I appreciate the courage to do that.
Yep. Yeah. And you probably sleep pretty good at night.
I sleep very well.
Excellent.
Well, I appreciate the time that you've given us, and I hope people will continue the conversation with you by going and getting a copy of The Gangs of Zion. Ron Stallworth, thank you for being a great life strategist here on Strategies for Living. Folks, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being with us. And we appreciate our sponsors making it possible, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Learning RX and Pintail Roofing and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan and for Ron Stallworth, I'm David McMillan. See you next time, right here on Strategies for Living.